You're listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Well, I think everybody's aware that this town is pretty much known for science. There's MIT, there's all kinds of colleges, Harvard, there's all of those biotech companies, startups in Kendall Square. So all of that is science, science fact. But I don't know if you are aware that this town is not too shabby when it comes to science fiction as well. Case in point is the Boston Sci-Fi Film Fest, which is in its 38th year. It's going on right now at the Somerville Theater in Davis Square. So I'm going to ask you to join me and Garen Daly. Put your geek cap on. Let your inner geek out, and let's talk about sci-fi film for a little bit. What do you say, Garen? You going to do it?
I think that's just a great idea.
Fantastic idea. Garen, of course, is a film critic. He's one of the organizers of the Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival, and he's with us frequently here on Boston Public Radio to talk about film and film-related issues. So, Sci-Fi Film Fest and Snowstorm converging. And what happens when that happens?
I wish I had my atomizer out there that could just get rid of all snow.
Sci-Fi should have some sort of solution, you know, for a big snowstorm.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen because there was way too much snow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I actually turned to a sci-fi film the night of the snowstorm. I was like, it's perfect time to watch Empire Strikes Back because it, of course, starts in this snow world of Hoth. So
correct.
I was like, this is perfect.
Yes, of course. And didn't Cambridge and Boston seem like Hoth at that time?
It did. It seemed exactly like Hoth.
All we needed were those big giant walkers walking around and blasting the rebels.
The AT-STs, yes, yeah. Totally. All right, let's geek down a little bit from there. And why don't you talk a little bit about what the film festival is and how this storm has affected you guys, because it did sort of affect you right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah, it did. Well, first of all, the festival is in its 38th year. It started at the long-lost, lamented Orson Welles Cinema back in 1976. And it's broken into two parts. We have the festival, which is a collection of international films, domestic films, that people submit to us from across the world through a company called Without a Box. And we curate them and judge them and put them up. And then we go to the marathon, which is the conclusion of the event, which is a 24, starts at noon, ends at noon, starts on the 17th and ends on the 18th. So that's 1,440 minutes of sitting in a movie theater with your geekiest friends possible.
Do people last through the entire 24 hours?
It's a badge of honor.
Really?
It is a badge of honor.
You have
like
same repeat people every year who come by. They kind of know the scene. They know how to do it.
Not only do the same people come, but they bring their kids because some of them actually met and got married there.
Wow.
It is quite the scene. It's sort of like Brigadoon. If you can imagine
city that's built once every 100 years.
Well, in this case, it's once every year. Out of the snows of wintry New England, We get a small community of 600 or 700 people sitting and watching films in one small theater. And believe me, Ode to Somerville gets a little intense when you think about the smell.
Yeah, I would imagine that the aroma is very particular to the Sci-Fi Film Fest.
Yes, food and celluloid.
Yeah, I mean, are there like some horror stories, just some crazy stories that sort of stick out from those marathons in past time? Like things that have just like went totally haywire, or people who just lost their minds or what?
Well, you know, you always have lost prints, films get lost in translation. This is going to be one of the best years in terms of horror stories because we lost literally the first 2 days of the festival, and even on Sunday, it was very difficult for us to put a program on. So we essentially lost the first 3 days of the fest.
All right, so let's stay on. We'll kind of work our way backwards. Let's stay, since we're already talking about the 24-hour marathon part of it. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about a couple of films that you have in this 24 hours going? We have some sound from a few of them. We'll listen as we go, but talk us through this 24 hours.
Well, the idea simply is to create what I like to call a flow within the 24 hours. So you have a collection of really good films, some really schlocky films, and then some great classics. For instance, we have a 1924 version of Hands of Orlok, directed by the guy that did Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and that's all about a musician who loses his hands and gets criminal's hands put on his hands, and
nice.
He goes around killing people.
Yes.
We've got Phase 4, which is a very rarely seen monster movie. Repticulus, a Danish monster movie.
And we have a little sound of Repticulus, so let's hear. This is a great title, by the way.
I love this title.
The Danes make crazy movies. Let's hear a little Repticulus.
Repticulus, a monstrous, massive beast whose astounding appearance causes panic.
Repticulus approaching the city. Repeat, Repticulus approaching the city.
Repticulus, an annihilating mastodon immune to all known weapons of warfare, creating chaos such as mankind has never before known.
All right, so we're spoonerisming it there. I think it's Reptilicus, not Reptilus.
Well, I'm sorry. My Danish is not as good as it used to be.
Yeah. Either way, so this sounds kind of like an ode to the old-style monster movie, just to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. And the fun part about this is the audience. Because the audience is really, really smart, and they'll know all the tropes, they'll know all the cliches, and they will make fun of them as they go along. Or they'll take out their ray guns and shoot the bad guys when it comes out. And so there's all sorts of, like, audience interaction. So it's sort of like seeing it with your Mystery Science 3000 crowd.
Nice. Is there a lot? I mean, is there a lot of interaction through this? Like, it sounds like you're saying people bring props. Do they talk back? Are they talking to each other? Or is everybody just kind of sitting watching movies?
It depends on the movie. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if it's a serious movie, people want it to be quiet. But if it's a fun, interactive movie, people obviously get into it. And we have contests. We have to keep things going along.
Kind of contest?
Well, we have a trivia contest, obviously.
And
believe me, you got to make it difficult.
Because you're in like super geek territory. I mean,
absolutely.
It's like people who like film, so that's one geek subset, but then sci-fi film, which is like a secondary geek subset, right? So we're like in true geek world.
Yeah. Another contest we have, which is going to be sponsored by the Annals of Improbable Research, is the aluminum foil hat contest, where people make these elaborate aluminum foil hats.
Why aluminum foil hats?
Well, that's because, you know, you don't want the aliens sucking your brains out.
Of course.
Didn't you see signs?
How could I have been so stupid?
But our favorite one is the alien mating cry, where people get up on stage and again, this is at the Somerville Theater.
Yeah.
So you got that beautiful stage and you got that wonderful acoustics in that theater. And they try to create what a alien would look like or sound like when they're calling their beloved.
All right. Well, it's close to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And actually, we have some sound. I believe this is last year's winner.
Actually, I think it's SF-32, 6 years ago.
Okay.
One of the better ones.
All right. So we're going to hear right now, get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, the winner 6 years ago of the Alien Mating Call Contest.
That's wonderful.
It's like an aphrodisiac.
Really,
to all of our ears.
Just imagine the bar scene from Star Wars and doing that cry.
It works.
It would actually work. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think the encouraging thing here of anything is that an alien species would also experience love the way us humans do. So it's nice to think of that they would have a mating call at all, that they wouldn't reproduce by some sort of strange process, but rather they fall in love too.
And they go to the bars late at night, and at 1 o'clock they're not so choosy.
Yeah, just like us. I'm talking with Garen Daly. He's our regular film critic here on Boston Public Radio, and he's one of the brains and the real energy behind the Boston Sci-Fi Film Fest, which is happening right now. We're talking through one part of the festival right now, which is the 24-hour marathon. That's the Sunday of President's Day weekend, right? So Sunday into Monday, that 24-hour period. What are some of the other films in that 24 hours?
Well, we have Battle Royale, the famous Asian film.
Great movie. Yeah. Hunger Games. A lot of people, look at the Hunger Games and say this is kind of a ripoff of this movie.
Right.
Same idea, right? A bunch of teenagers kind of put on an island. They got to murder each other.
That's right. We've also got The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Very nice.
Which is a good film.
That's from 1957. We have a little sound of that one. Let's hear a little taste of The Incredible Shrinking Man.
I was continuing to shrink. To become what? The infinitesimal? What was I? Still a human being? Or was I the man of the future? Would other beings follow me into this vast new world? So close, the infinitesimal and the infinite. But suddenly I knew they were really the two ends of the same concept. The unbelievably small and the unbelievably vast eventually meet like the closing of a gigantic circle.
It's existential, man.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, I think this is one of the real interesting things to me about the sci-fi genre. First of all, it's really versatile, right? I mean, sci-fi can encompass everything from something like 2001: A Space Odyssey, which is like a very sort of serious meditation on the human condition, on what it is to be human, beautifully shot, classical music, to the seriously campy, the seriously funny. But there does always kind of seem to be this bit of an existential questioning that comes with much of the good sci-fi.
Well, even when you take Incredible Shrinking Man, which in many ways, if you look at it, is kind of falls into that schlocky quality.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is it caught a little bit of lightning in the bottle because it also kind of talked about the existential shrinking of mankind in modern society. Hmm. So it does hit these resonant chords every once in a while. And some of it's very, very good along those lines. And it can be anything. It could be space. It could be philosophical.
Yeah. Talking with Garen Daly, film critic, guy behind the Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival, which is going on now. All right, so we talked about, we've only got about 5 minutes left. We talked about the 24-hour portion. Talk about the fest stuff, some of the things, some of the interesting stuff that you're bringing in that you've curated.
Well, first of all, for tonight, we have a film called Alexandra, which is a Honduran film. The director will be there. We've got another film from Chile called Juan in a Million. There's also, coming this weekend, we have Space Milkshake.
Juan in a Million. That's a great title. It just kind of dawned on me as you're moving on. I'm like, that's a great title.
And it's about a young man in Chile going to Harvard, so that kind of has a nice...
Oh, really?
Nice. So that's good. Then there's Space Milkshake, where a rubber duck invades a garbage scow in space, and the rubber duck is voiced by George Takei from Star Trek.
Very nice. He's revered in sci-fi circles, of course.
Right. And another one is Motivational Growth on the same night, which is on Friday the 15th, where we have a guy whose house is so grubby and messy that the mold in his bathroom actually becomes sentient. And it is voiced by Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator. That's a really good film. I'm looking forward to that. We've got two War of the World films, one called War of the World, The True Story, which is a documentary that it actually happened.
Oh, sort of pretends like the thing actually really happened.
And there's a lot of archival footage. And then the other one is called War of the World Goliath. And it is a take 15 years after the first War of the Worlds. And the Martians are getting ready to invade. But to kind of wrap it up, bring it back to your Hoth at the beginning, there is a giant walker that the humans have made to battle the giant Martian walkers.
Oh, so we're ready this time.
We're ready to do
battle. Fool me once, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
Shame on the Martians.
Raining down. Shame on the Martians. So are these feature-length films? Are they shorts?
Well, no,
are they high production value?
These are all feature-length films. Our shorts, we're doing an online shorts exhibition because we lost those 3 days and we couldn't do it. And I have to say, the shorts quality this year has been extraordinarily good. And one of the more amazing aspects of the shorts this year was roughly 40% of the shorts made and submitted were by women, which far exceeds the Hollywood paradigm of how many women are making films.
Why do you think that is? I mean, is it something specific about sci-fi that women are rising? It's something that's appealing to them in a way it hadn't in the past, or is it just there are more women interested in making film than there ever has been?
Well, I think it's a combination of those things, but I think that when you look at the top 25 all-time grossing films, you'll see that the majority of them are science fiction. So anyone who's smart is going to say, if I make a good science fiction film, it's going to get some play. And I think women are looking at it, and I think they're also seeing the fact that it's easier to make films these days because the hands of the production are now in the hands of the people.
Yeah, and is it easier to make sci-fi films? I mean, again, you know, the sort of, the gem in the sci-fi, in the history of sci-fi is kind of Star Wars, right? And everything that George Lucas did to change the way that special effects were done. But, I mean, they had to innovate a whole bunch of stuff. It cost them millions and millions of dollars to be able to do that. Now, you know, the kinds of things that it takes to make sci-fi work, like a shot in space, or something blowing up, or a ray gun. That's in the hands of the people for a much, much cheaper premium than it used to be as well. So is it easier to make a sci-fi film for cheap now than it used to be?
Yes, and I'll tell you, and you're absolutely correct with that, but I'll tell you the other part about sci-fi that makes it easier for filmmakers is they can take a premise and in a short do a very compressed example of what they're talking about. For instance, there is an example of one film called Tema, which I'm very high on, where a woman, an older woman who is dying of MS, creates a computer to be able to transmit her thoughts into so she'll live afterwards. There are a lot of stories like that where a very simple precept is used in science fiction to explore the human condition. And I think when you look at the women directors, they do that a little better than the guys. The guys do like the special effects and the explosions and things like that. The women bring another level of expertise to the storytelling.
Very interesting stuff. All right, we've only got less than a minute left, and I know you have a million things, I'm sure, to say about this, but I cannot let you go without asking you. Just briefly, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down on Disney purchasing Lucasfilm and this plan to bring new Star Wars out with new directors, new writers. What's your thought generally?
I think it's positive. I think George Lucas kind of got tired. And if you take a look at his dialogue, it's not very well written. So I think this is going to be good. I'm a little concerned about Abrams doing the first
one. How come?
I just think that it might be a little bit too splashy and might not have the depth that I would like to see.
How did you feel about his reboot of the Star Trek?
I like the reboot of the Star Trek. And I think going back to Disney, their take on Avengers was very good.
All right. So positive spin from Garen Daly, who is a film critic, our regular film critic here on Boston Public Radio, and the man behind the Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me here, Edgar.
And that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Of course, you can find us on the web. You can hear all of our segments from today or past shows on our website. That's wgbhnews.org/BPR. Hey, another idea. Join us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio. That's B-O-S Public Radio. Our show, of course, is a production of WGBH Radio. For Emily Rooney and for Kara Miller, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Have a great afternoon.